I look so... Oh.
Good job. Hey, everybody. Welcome to podcast Lost in Space episode... Okay, I put 25, but my records show we did 25 already, so maybe 25, maybe 26. We lost count. It's been a few weeks since we did our last episode.
True.
But we actually have everybody, plus my friend Madeline, because she's bored. She's here.
Bored.
So I was like, come on up. So, Alyssa, say hi to everybody.
Hi. Are we just introducing, or...?
Just introducing her.
Okay. Hey, I'm Alyssa. Haven't been on for a really long time. I've been super busy. End of the school year's coming up, but I'm the little sister of the bunch, and also the annoying one sometimes, I feel like. I talk a lot. Anyway, yeah, hi, everybody. It's glad to be back.
The one without a camera?
I'm Ryan. I won't be here for very long today.
No. Sunny?
Because he's busy, busy, busy. Hi, I'm Seneca. I'm the cat herder for the blog stuff and somehow got dragged onto the podcast for whatever reason. But yeah, so I'm here.
Do you want to introduce yourself at all?
Hi, I'm Madeline. I'd be the annoying one if I was here more often. So, Alyssa, you're in here.
And then I'm Alexander. This is all my crazy idea. So, because it's been a few weeks, let's get into this. Ryan, you get to. What have you been up to? How have you been doing? They haven't seen you in a while.
I've just been interviewing. My soccer season's come to a close. For the first time in 18 years of playing the sport, I had a game end in a 22-man fistfight. So that was fun.
We were disappointed you didn't give us pictures of bruises.
Were you a part of this fistfight?
No, it was on the other side of the field from me, and I slowly walked up and got about halfway, and I said, I'm not getting involved.
Good man.
Good.
I would have thrown a punch or two. Would have been fun.
Of course.
Actually, yeah. yesterday I went up to LA for a Formula E event, which is Formula One, except the cars are electric. So that was actually really cool.
That's cool.
There's also the Formula, I don't know what they call it, but those robotic Formula racing cars too. Autonomous.
I don't know what that is.
Is that what Dad watches? Doesn't he watch a TV show about, like, the cars that don't have drivers, but they're, like...
Maybe?
I don't know. Newman, are you still at your other job? And you're just trying to work on a new one, or...?
Yeah, I have a pretty big interview tomorrow. And another pretty big interview. For now, Friday, but I'm probably going to try and reschedule it. Just because I am super busy this week.
Yeah.
I don't have time to, like, basically study for that interview as well as an exam and homework. And I have a friend coming down this weekend. And I don't have time. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So we just wanted to see, you because you haven't been around.
He's alive!
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably won't be on next week, or the week after, or the week after.
He's just gone for another whole month.
Yep.
That's what happens,
yeah. Cool.
Next week. Next week. I may be on next week. I won't be on next week.
No.
Nobody will be here.
Nobody will be here next week.
Which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, bye guys.
Bye, Newman.
Bye, Newman. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no problem.
Wait for it. Okay. Lissa, how
have you been? Okay, so I've been super busy, like I kind of said. I think the last time I was on was before spring break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did this for spring break. I, instead of going home, chose to do what's called the Student State Leaders Forever Pay It Forward Tour. So we left, like, really early Friday morning, and made our way to Madison, Wisconsin. I think it was, like, a 6 or 7 hour drive, I don't know, something like that. So basically what the entire trip is every day we, except for the first day and then the last days, because they're, like, booking it home and booking it somewhere, we do a volunteer service trip, and it was five different cities. So the first day was, like, Madison, Wisconsin, and then the Saturday morning we did a service trip, and it was actually my, or a service project. It was my favorite one. We went to a state park in an area of the state park that hadn't opened yet, and we cleared out invasive plant species from, like, the trails and stuff, and then we threw it into the wetlands, and it was really cool. It was on a lake, and so that was really pretty, but also, because when we got there, the area was, like, covered in these invasive species, and we were, I was like, we're not going to do anything, like, we're not even going to make a dent. But as, like, the time went on, I think we spent, each one we did, like, 4 to 5 hours working, and slowly you would, like, start to see the group next to you, and then, like, you kind of were all working in one area, and then all of a sudden you'd look around, and it was like, I can see everything, like, we just cleared all of this, and it was just, it was a really cool experience, being the, what?
How many of you?
There was 36 of us total.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was cool because it was our first one. We didn't really know people, like, each other very well. There was six other sorority sisters of mine, then, like, a lot of fraternity and sorority people as well. It wasn't, like, just Greek life, but the majority of our bus was. So, yeah, so I spent 90s total on a bus with 36 other people. We did other service projects, like we'd go to non-for-profits, like we went to a non-for-profit ballet studio and painted and cleaned up, organized, things like that. We, what else did we do? Oh, we went to, there's this place in West Virginia, in Charleston, West Virginia, and it's called Manna Meal, and it's a place that they serve food 7 days a week to anybody and whoever comes. They don't ask questions, they just serve you food. But what we did for them is we helped them make, I forgot what it's called, but it's basically where you make a garden on top of soil, because underneath the area, there's springs, so they would plant stuff, but then the water would just come up and, like, de-root them, I don't know.
So did you plant them in the water?
No, so it's like,
because if you planted them in the water, then it, well, it wouldn't quite be apple.
It's like, you make the garden on top of, like, it's the grass and soil.
Floating gardens, yeah.
Yeah, something, and so it was a lot of labor. That was the most labor-intensive one we did. It was so much fun, though, and yeah, and, oh, I was really excited because I had rain boots. I've never had rain boots before, and I actually, like, utilized them to their potential because, like, you'd step on the grass and you'd, like, because it's, but it was also cool because this place, it's called Rock Lake, and it's used to be because they were digging, years ago, decades ago, I should say, and they found these springs, and then they turned this into a pool. And it was the world's largest pool for a long time, and, like, there's these giant cliffs, and people would jump off of them, and there are pools. So it was, like, a thing.
Yeah.
So that was just really cool. And then we went another one we did, we went to Shenandoah National Park, and we hiked on these two trails that were, like, not open yet, and we picked up trash. Well, what happened was, yes, we did that, but our landmark was we were supposed to, so we split up into two teams, and then we each went to a different trail, and we were supposed to go to this designated waterfall and then turn back and come back. Well, I mean, being from, like, Washington and knowing what waterfalls look like, we made it to this one, and it was, like, just a stream, and a bunch of us were like,
oh, no.
This doesn't seem like, I'm sure there's another one further down. There was no sign. The park rangers didn't come with us. They just handed us a map, and we're like, go. So we ended up walking, and then all of a sudden we're like, it's been, like, a really long time. We haven't found it. Somebody goes, oh, yeah, that was the waterfall. You guys just kept going. So we thought we were on a loop, too, but turns out we weren't. We get lost. Somebody pulled out their phone.
Oh,
we
don't
have,
like,
we don't have signal, really, but somebody pulled out their phone and, like, used the compass, and we were going, like, southeast when we're supposed to be going north. And we were like, we're lost. So we find, once somebody gets signaled, we call the other group, and we're like, so are you guys at the bus yet? And they're like, no. And we're like, okay, because we're lost. And they're like, we are too. Both groups got lost. It was like, the hike itself was probably like half an hour. like each way, so probably an hour. We spent 3.5 hours. We took a casual 6-mile detour, and it was, I was in rain boots, and it was hot. And everybody was like, it's going to be cold up there, dress in layers. Oh, it was hot. I had a sweatshirt on. I had rain boots and jeans. It was miserable, but it was really, really fun. But we got lost in Shenandoah National Park. We did manage to pick up trash, but it took us quite a bit longer. We were kind of curious. We're like, we wonder if the park rangers were like, they haven't come back yet. But there were no signs.
Yeah, we're going to have to do so much more work now.
Yeah. And the other group didn't even get on. They didn't start on the right trail. At least, like, we did. They didn't even go on the trail. Wow. And then our bus driver was with them because his name is Dave. He was awesome. But, like, he went on the hike with them. And then, like, I guess he went past them and hiked and then came back on the bus, like, and then picked them up because the trail they were on was basically, like, walking on the street or something. I don't know. We were, like, in the woods.
Huh.
And so when we found out they got picked up on the bus, we were so mad. But, yeah. So, and then we got to D.C., which was our, like, destination. So, what I didn't say was, what's cool about this project is there were 7 other buses from different universities in the Midwest making their way all to D.C. So then we all meet up in D.C., it's called our Celebration City, and we, like, do meet and greet kind of stuff, but then we, the next day did a service project, a big one, and we cleaned a river, and I don't know which one it was right outside of DC, but it was so gross, and it made me feel so bad for, like, the environment, how much trash there was being, tires pulled out of it, like, car parts were, like, did a car crash in here, tons of, like, plastic bags, like, gross stuff. I was just so confused. Somebody found cocaine, so we have to call the police.
Oh, fun.
We found you know those, like, the traffic cones, but not, like, the cone ones, they're, like, the long, skinny ones. Somebody found one of those, and then, like, they flipped it over, and somebody's credit card, social security number, like, license, like, a bunch of stuff came out. They were expired, and then they flipped it out, and more came out, and it was, like, this stack, so we had to call the police for that, too, because, like, we don't know if they were stolen, or somebody went missing, or somebody's hiding, you know, like, so we had to do that, but it was, like, all their information, like, social security card, like, license, credit cards, like, all that. So that was really interesting, but the amount of trash we got was mind-blowing.
Yeah, a lot of the rivers on the east, especially near the major cities, are just trash.
Yeah.
It was just so sad. I was just like, wow, this is absolutely crazy. But it was fun. I had rain boots, so I was giving people piggybacks across the river and stuff. And it was just a really, really amazing experience. After we do the service projects, we get on the bus, go to the next city. So it'd be like a couple-hour car rides. We do like bus activities, get to know each other.
Oh, God. And
then in the evenings, we would do like other activities that were more serious. We did ones about stereotypes. We basically shared like, so we were supposed to, we did this yarn activity, and we sat in a circle and then passed yarn to, like, the person that spoke, so we were all connected, and shared, like, something we're struggling with.
Physically hurts me.
It was really incredible, and I got so close to the people, and it was just really, it was an amazing experience. Definitely the way I wanted to spend my spring break, instead of, like, going to a beach and, like, doing the stereotypical thing. I have plenty of time in my life to do that. But it was incredible.
You've also been to a lot of really nice beaches.
What?
You've been to nice beaches because of our family.
Well, yeah. And then it was cool because, like, every city we went to, we got to tour. So, like, we went to Louisville, Kentucky, which I was really excited about. But people were kind of mean there. I don't know. And it was on a Sunday, so a lot of things were closed. But we got a tour, so it wasn't, like, just serving. We actually did get to have a spring break travel-y kind of thing because we saw all the cities in D.C. We did all that. I got to go to the Lincoln Memorial, which I didn't get to go last time I was there. So it was just...
I didn't go to the Lincoln Memorial either.
Yeah, so...
Memorial.
Oh, I gotta go to the Smithsonian. That
I am jealous of.
When I was there last, I went to the Holocaust, which, if you ever go, I highly recommend that. The Holocaust Museum.
Is that... No, I'm thinking of the one in New York. Where you go up to the top, like 13 floors, and walk your way down it.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know, because in the Holocaust Museum, you get in an elevator.
Okay,
I don't
so know it's the museum then.
I don't know how far it goes, but it has like all the hair and the shoes.
Yeah, and you start at the top, and you have to walk your way through it.
Yeah, so you walk. It takes like a good 3 hours
through the rest of the exhibit.
Yeah, but a lot of people wanted to do that, but it was like completely booked out. So if you do go,
book ahead.
Sure you get reservations and plan ahead.
Did that in middle school.
But yeah, you probably did it when you were there. But yeah, so I got to go to the Smithsonian. I was really excited. I went to the American history one because natural history just doesn't really interest me, nor does aerospace. So I got to see Dorothy's ruby slippers, which I was really excited about, Lincoln's hat that he was assassinated in, things like that. So the next time I go, though, I really am excited. I want to go to the art museum. Just nobody wanted to go with me.
I made a mistake, which was when I was there, I cut short my time at the Natural History to do the aerospace. But the problem with going to the aerospace museum for a kid who grew up on military history books is that I was like, yeah, this is really cool to see. We have a really good air flight museum in Seattle.
Yeah, we do.
So I was like, this is... And we didn't. And by the time we were like, all right, well, that was fun. Let's go back. Oh, no, we have to meet everybody.
See, I like the American one because they have artifacts that they... like nobody else, nowhere else would have. All the inaugural, or not all of them, obviously.
Ruby slippers, though.
Yeah, but the, I got a pin. I was really excited. But the inaugural dresses of a bunch of them, Michelle Obama's inaugural dress, that was actually, they had a lot of dresses, and like, first lady's outfits and stuff. That was really interesting, and then my friend who was with me, she was, she's a fashion retail merchandising, so she really liked that, and she's actually in, like, a history of design or something class.
Pretty cool.
What else?
Quickly.
I have some other things that I'll probably talk about later, because with our topic, but I'm just kind of finished. I realized I have 6 more weeks of school left, so... That freaked me out. I can't believe I'm going to be gone here soon. I've been busy with tests and just life, school stuff. Spring's kind of wrapping up. This month is going to be absolutely crazy for me. So with formal season for sorority, I mean, it's kind of always formal season, but like every weekend now I have some multiple events each weekend with my sorority and fraternity stuff. So
busy.
Sunny, how have you been?
So I've been here most recent, I guess. Well, no, because you were there too, Alex. But,
Nobody else can run this without me, because nobody else...
Because I don't know how to run this!
We don't know how to!
But so, last time I checked in, I think, was when I officially made the decision on the program that I'm going to. I think I announced which one it was. And so... I've been kind of in crazy mode. For anybody who has spoken to me probably in the last 2 years, they know that the GRE has consumed way too much time in my life. I'm
in crazy mode.
I'm selling my GRE textbooks and GRE. So it's like the SAT for graduate school.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's the easiest.
Number 26.
Oh, it's number 26. Okay, cool. But so, I've been selling furniture that I don't need. I've been really just trying to streamline my items because I'm going to be moving across the country in my car. And anything that doesn't fit in my car or cannot be mailed by media mail does not come with me. End of story. So, I've made a small pile of cash from selling textbooks that I will never, ever use again because I simply have no need for them.
I'm still
is that exciting?
It's really exciting. It's also really scary because I just sold my bed this morning, which I'm going to be where I currently am probably for the next... My lease ends at the end of June. Oh. However, I have a futon, and beds are really hard to sell in college towns. So I got it sold at the price that I wanted. I got sold to a friend, actually, which I'm happy about because, you know, they needed a good bed. So
it's going to be a good mall.
Yeah, it's going to a good home. But so I've been doing a lot of that type of stuff, just preparing. I also finally finished the first portion of the training that I needed to do for my current job. I haven't been getting the hours that I want at my current job, so I might be looking for a new job. Let's see, is there anything else? I've been preparing for a psychology conference that I'm going to at the end of this month. And
conferences for everything.
I go to a lot of conferences.
There's conferences for absolutely everything.
There is. So this is the Western Psychology Association conference, and it's going to be pretty cool. And I get to re-meet Zimbardo for psych nerds who know that person. It's pretty awesome.
Gesundheit.
Zimbardo. It's Zimbardo. You don't know who... Oh, you weirdo. But yeah, for those who can actually, like, tell how sunburned I am very sunburned, and that's because I volunteered for about 6 solid hours yesterday and stood in the sun. Wee!
I'm in Japan again because the kids keep going to play outside. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's hot out there. They're like, let's go. I'm like, okay.
So yeah. It was in, like, the 60s here, mm-hmm. but then all of a sudden, it didn't get, like, cloudy or dark. It's super sunny out. You walk outside, it's, like, 25 degrees and windy.
Let me guess, there's no clouds?
There are clouds. It's still, like, sunny, though, but it's just...
Yeah, but the less clouds there are, the less there is to retain the heat.
There's a lot of clouds. It's cloudy.
I don't know, then. Sorry.
I don't know, but it's so deceiving because we had, like... Nice, really nice. Like, you could be. I wore sandals the other day and I was like warm. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's like, just kidding. We're going to keep the weather nice, but we're going to drop the temperature about 40 degrees. So, yeah.
It's a thing.
Oh, I thought of. Are you done, Sunny?
Nah, I don't have really much else. Well, I could go on for a while because there's a lot of stuff going on, but I don't feel like.
Yeah. I want to add. That. I'm also in the midst, I register for classes in 4 days, so I'm in the middle of planning my academic life, mm-hmm. and I made a spreadsheet of all the classes I have to take for the next, probably 3 years, so I think I'm going to be here a total 4 years.
Actually, I'm going to use the, so Sunny, did you mm-hmm. have to do this when you signed up for your master's? My master's program...
What master's? Sorry, I'm not PhD. Going to a master's program. I'm going straight to a doctoral program.
PhD student.
No. Dr. Seneca?
You knew this when you signed up for your graduate program.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up and got into the master's, the online master's that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I got accepted. But when I did it, I had to fill out my whole, like... academic plan, so like here's all the classes I'm going to take and here's when I'm going to take them.
I have to do that within the first year.
I did it before I applied.
But that's because mine is a 4-year program and there are a lot of certificate programs. I actually already got okayed for a certificate program, but they try to give you a little bit of time to like pick your official advisor who's going to be your formal advisor for your thesis and your dissertation. They want to give you some time to see if there are any certificate programs that you're interested in or if there are any specific client populations. So doing your class schedule for the next like 4 to 5 years depending on if you want to stretch it out. It's not really healthy because you're going to set yourself up and go, oh crap, I want this certificate, or realize that a certificate isn't for you, or, you know, like, there's a lot of things like that.
If they have you do it too, because I was like, really? I don't even know what
this program is. I will be doing that. I'm not doing that right this minute, but that's because my program is very aware about the fact that applying to graduate school is really stressful, and it's not really healthy for applicants to apply specifically to work with a single person and then attach themselves to that person for 4 or 5, you know, the rest of their life, without ever meeting them. Because a lot of people apply to professors who they have literally never met in person, so they try to be...
I was looking for master's program.
So they try to be aware of that type of thing, and I think that shows through other aspects of
that's so interesting. I'm kind of curious, and I'm kind of wanting to document this because, like, everybody says they come to college or whatever, and they change their minds a lot, and I'm kind of like, I know, like, I don't think I'm going to change my mind. So I've, like, I've made a spreadsheet of all the classes I make, and as of right now, my goal is...
So anal.
Well, yes, I am.
I did that.
I got, okay, well, it's not my fault. I got bored in class, and I was like, let's plan my life, because that makes me feel better. But now, oh, announcement, I, instead of taking French, have decided to continue my Spanish education. And
wait, you're actually going to speak Spanish to people?
Yes, instead of behind the scenes.
I didn't think you could speak Spanish for a few for the first month you were there.
I just don't speak it because I get scared. So my hope is to actually end up speaking it and feeling comfortable. But I can, like, I can watch TV and stuff and
Alyssa,
comprehend most of it.
You speak Spanish better than Alex does.
That's
I'm not going to argue that
at all. But anyway, my goal is now to end with a double major in strategic communications, international studies, a minor in anthropology, and a minor in Spanish.
Oh,
cool.
And she's going to be a 4.0 student.
Overachiever.
I don't know about that. I have one class this semester that might kill it. Western Civ is the hardest class I've ever taken.
Western
Okay, Alexander, you're no longer allowed to call me an overachiever. Because look at your sister.
Not because
you
of the
both make me look so
Alex.
Bad.
Sorry.
Okay, but my teacher is extraordinarily hard, and she's from Europe, and her teaching style is really different. So I just like But I think I did good on this test. I don't know. I hope I did.
So what's the question though? Because you wanted a you had a question.
I'm kind of like.
Are you just freaking out that people change their mind? Because I can tell you right now that I'm a key example of somebody who went to college and went. Like, literally the day that I went there was, I'm going to go do this thing. And not only did I do that, but I did more. Because I went there and said, I want to get a bachelor's of arts in psychology, and I want to major in Chinese as well. I want to be a dual degree holder. Yeah. I got a bachelor's of science in psychology instead, which takes more classes, more effort. And then not only did I major in Chinese, but I had to design my own major, actually. So,
it's interesting to me because... Universities, I don't really know if I have a question, but, like, universities, it's the average now is 5 years to get
But you have to keep in mind that that's not just because people change their minds. That is part of it, but it's also because there is more stuff to learn. There are more prerequisites. There's more classes in general, usually.
Here, he talked about all the classes he had to drop, which would push out timeline.
And
if people are working part-time...
That too.
So it's just interesting to me.
Fewer classes at a time.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me how many people are doing 5 years, and I mean, my situation is complicated because I went to culinary school before, so I don't really know what I'm, because now I'm considered a senior here, but I'm probably going to take 3 years, so that'll be, I don't know, it's
this
just really
interesting. I noticed with Running Start is it's really good when, like, all three of us did a Running Start. We all kind of thought we knew where we were going. Senny actually did know where she was going. But Alyssa, you got a culinary degree, and I thought I was going to go into computer science.
Okay, well, I always knew I was going to do a four-year.
No, we both knew we were going to four-year. It's where we were going in the four-year, and so what happens is those first 2 years... For most normal people, which there are no normal people on this podcast right now.
None of us are traditional students.
No, it's them trying, like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. For all of us, we went in, we're like, all right, we're doing this. And then
Okay, but that's not fair, though, for me personally. My first, so I did Running Start, essentially, instead of the last 2 years of high school and the first 2 years of my undergrad, So I took, like, botany courses because my other interest was science, like, you know, life science, essentially, and I took a bunch of science classes and I took psychology classes to see which one was my true passion, so to speak, because through Running Start, I had to get some science classes anyways, so why not?
Master's class?
Yeah.
My science credits?
Oh, my God, seriously?
Senny, did you finish... How long did it take you to get your bachelor's?
Both of them?
Yeah, like...
So about a little under 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's because you did Running Start. That's because I did Running Start, but I also did two majors. Had I done one major, I probably could have been out of there in 2 years, honestly.
Yeah. Two distinct majors, too.
Different majors. I literally had two classes that overlapped between the two majors, and that was because I designed my Chinese major to be Chinese language and culture, so I took some cultural psychology courses alongside linguistics and like pedagogy so that it was specifically designed to mesh with the psychology major. So
that's Chinese language.
What?
Which Chinese language?
Mandarin. So at my school, because they only teach Mandarin Chinese language meshes and it just works for them. However, it's specifically Mandarin, but I understand a Kunming dialect and a Beijing dialect. I was specifically taught with a Beijing dialect, though.
I feel really lucky because all of my interests are in the same college. So for those of you that don't know, universities are split up into like colleges, like College of Business, College of Science, or whatever. I'm in the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. So that's my communications major, my international studies, my Spanish, and my anthropology are all in the same, so it's, like, not any excess requirements or prereqs, and then also a lot of my classes, I'm working with my advisors. That's what I've been doing the past, like, week and into this week is figuring out how can this count for multiple things, like, can this meet the requirements for both, so that's why, like, it is crazy and it is a lot. But at the same time, it works, and it works for what I want to do. And
so is that why you're doing minors instead of distinct majors?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say that would be my... you can usually only have a certain percentage of courses that overlap between two majors, and it's a little bit more flexible with minors because they understand that you're already kind of in that area anyway, so it's like take a couple extra courses and you got the minor, so you might as well.
Our minors
are more like specializations than anything else.
Yeah, our minors, I think they have to have like 15 distinct from your primary major. My primary major is communications. My secondary major is international studies. But communications I have, and so like for my Spanish and anthropology, I think it's 15. It might be 9 or something classes that are separate. My Spanish ones tie into my international studies, but since that's not my primary, it like works out. So
yeah.
And cool. It's cool because I love it all, and I think I love anthropology more than Alexander, so.
No, you're getting...
That's kind of hilarious.
I went to a school with all sorts of interdisciplinary garbage that I can't actually explain to anybody, so I have to say that I have an anthropology degree, because having a culture, literature, and the arts degree doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So, it's definitely fun, but...
It is funny, though, that she's like, she just uses all the words, and I'm like, all right, I got most of that.
You understand the concepts, you don't know the terms.
I don't know the words. I don't know all the big fancy anthropology words, which is always occasionally embarrassing, where I'm like, okay, no, I get it.
I also found out that for my like senior capstone or whatever, we have to do like a thesis paper, which I'm really excited about. But I can do some sort of ethnographic study when I study abroad and tie it in and like use it all.
Mm-hmm. So, those are really popular, and they're not that hard.
Yeah,
I love that you ended up loving papers.
Papers are gorgeous.
I love to write. One thing that I have found, it's so weird, in high school and junior high, I loved math and science, and that's what I liked, and that's what I like focused on, and that's what I did.
You was going to be a physics teacher.
I was going to be a physics teacher, people. Physics. Now I love English. I love writing, and I love literature, and I'm reading in like an ethnography, and I really enjoy it. I hate that I can't read as fast as Alexander can, because otherwise I would totally read more.
Class is so easy.
I would totally read more if I could read fast. It just takes me forever, but I love it, and it's just interesting how I've completely flipped my like fields. So
it happens.
Yeah.
It means I won because she became an equally weird nerd.
Yeah, pretty
how
much.
How does that mean that you won?
Because mom swore she would be the normal one.
Yeah. I'm more normal than you.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, what she said. What the one with purple hair said.
Pink. It's pink. Yeah, all the
All right, we're going to quickly change gears here. So, if you're still with us after Alyssa talked for 15
minutes. Sorry, I haven't been here in so long.
And you remember everything. Ryan, we mentioned with Ryan that we're not doing a podcast next week. So because, apparently Cortana is recording everything I say. So because Sani's got into her master's and is busy, because Alyssa's always just busy.
I'm not in a master's. I'm going to be in a doctoral program.
Sorry,
get it right.
In her graduate program. I'm not going to call you doctor.
I'm going to make you call me Dr. Irwin. Just for that.
You're never going to get it.
It's okay. I'll just stop responding.
You know, we're all kind of busy. And apparently it's really hard to get everybody together on a Sunday. We're going to shift to a bi-weekly podcast schedule. So podcast Lost in Space, this thing, is going to go up twice a month, first and third week of the month. Podcast Lost in Games, or whatever Doc is doing with his Ben and Doc show, are going to go up the other 2 weeks. I think his Ben and Doc show is actually going to go up as he's going to kind of keep doing that weekly as long as he can because he likes that. Mm-hmm. And on the weird months where we have that weird fifth week, we're going to try to get a little more focused, kind of specialized podcast. I know Ryan and I want to sit down and talk about the iPhone security stuff or some other Facebook security stuff. Maybe I'll have Maddie sit down and ramble about fans.
Something I can actually talk about.
Yeah, we'll give Maddie something she can talk about. You know, we'll try to make those a little more focused and specialized. Yeah. And then for the blog, I'll let Senny, since it's her.
Well, okay. So for the blog, we're going to be structuring it a little bit different. We have four distinct topics for each month, because theoretically each month has four different weeks to do posting on. For the fifth week, whenever there is a fifth week, we're going to be going towards a guest post specifically. At this point, obviously, for the podcast and for the blog, we would love it if you gave us some stuff that you want to hear us talk about, write about. Yeah. And I believe that a post has already actually gone up, Alexander, about what
I'm checking right now.
Okay, what listeners and what readers can do for us to keep us going. Obviously, this kind of just started as a test to see what can we do.
Turns out we
so
do
far,
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of work to do a lot.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out how to keep this going at a reasonable pace without burning out Alexander, myself, and obviously everybody else in the group.
And mostly I don't want to burn out Seneca because...
Well, because there's a certain point where I will shove his face into the dirt and tell him
me.
No. I won't kill you. I'll just, you know, make my point known. Be very expressive. So, yeah.
Cool. All right.
Can I introduce our topic? Are we good?
Yes, you can introduce our topic. We'll let you talk for another 15 minutes.
Yay! All right. Well... This is my topic, and I'm really proud of it. Just kidding. Well, it is my topic. But this week we're going to be talking about networking in the sense of, like, job and in your industry, because this is something that I'm doing right now a lot of, and then Senny mentioned she kind of doesn't understand necessarily how to do it.
I just don't do it because I just make friends at conferences.
Yeah, well, that's networking. So,
I don't think of it as networking. I just think of them as friends and acquaintances that I can call. Networking sounds so clinical and like, I'm going to call them for this specific thing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, yeah, that's what a lot of people probably think is like networking specifically just for job sense or like opportunities in your field. But really, when you network, it's not just like, I met you once, and now I need a job. Can I reach out? They're not going to, like, vouch for you. It's more, we've made connections. We've done, like, I kind of know you, not necessarily, maybe you don't know him super well, but, like, I kind of know you. So, yeah, I'll give you a good word when you're applying for this job. So, for example, there's multiple, like, ways you can network, especially as a student, which I found, so one of the big ones is professors, and I know my roommate, she...
Keep in contact with professors.
She was telling me, because I just had coffee last week with one of my professors that I had last semester, And I just made a really good connection with her, and I reached out to her asking, I'm applying for scholarships, and I was like, hey, would you mind being one of my references for academics for the scholarship that I'm applying to? And she's like, yes, I'd love to. How about we get coffee, too, and catch up? And I was like, perfect. Well, talking with her, I was able to kind of, she's also like the curricular, she does the curriculum for my program, so I asked her about classes, what classes I should take to focus my PR, like do my PR focus and things like that, and it was just like a lot of really good conversation, both academic but also personal. She helped me kind of like, because I was in the middle of struggling, like, do I do Spanish? Do I do French? What do I do? What's more applicable? Her husband speaks 7 languages. Like, professors can get, I said this last time, but there's so much more than just professors. And now I like LinkedIn, and I've been utilizing LinkedIn a lot. And so now we're LinkedIn, and she's been in the industry. So there's, she has so many like connections and things that I could someday utilize. Professors are so amazing. Another one, not even professor at high school, no, it was junior high teacher. I asked her to be one of my scholarship references too, and she's like, of course. And so that connection is important. You can also, I'm the type of person, Jensen.
How do you make friends with all of your teachers?
Talk to them like they're human beings.
Who of my professors? Every other professor.
What school you're at and what they're teaching.
True.
I have always, no matter what, connected to my professors. On the first day of class, I go up to them and I like, hi, like I'm Alyssa. Like, just wanted to introduce myself and stuff. I participate a lot in class too.
Which I do.
So that's a really big thing. I don't just go to class, sit there, and listen. I, like, answer questions because I don't know if you noticed, I like to talk. But then they see me as a good student, and they see me that I, like, am making effort. So even if I, like, don't do good on a test, I can go to them, or I can be like, I don't know what happened. Like, help me. And they're more willing to help you. Mm-hmm. Also, I forgot which professor it was, but I was talking to them, and, I met the new Spanish professors, and they're so cool. But we can do, a lot of schools offer independent studies, but professors, like, for class credits, if you, there's not a class that you, like, want, you want to study something, but there's not a class for it, you can work with a professor, get independent study, and do, get credits that way. And the professor is saying they're not going to do that because it's extra work for them. It's basically they have to make a whole nother class.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that for just a student that comes to class, sits there, leaves every day. They're going to do it for a student that, yes, has good grades, but shows that they try. You can be a B student and still, like, really connect or show that they try, and they'll do it for you. You don't have to be a straight-A student for professors to, like, reach out to you.
Yeah, well, and also, like, your professor is a human being. So So the first quarter that I took at Western, I had a neuroscience professor. No offense to any neuroscientists who are watching this, but neuroscience is not my forte. It just isn't. I don't get that feeling when I'm learning about it where I'm willing to stay up and lose hours of sleep because I like my sleep to continue to learn about it. And I don't get super excited to go to that class because, oh my God, we're going to learn about neurons. Like, that's not something that I'm enthused about. However, like, I still actually, I made a connection with my professor by just talking to him because it was the summer and I was new in Bellingham and I was 17 and I had no idea what to do because all my classmates were like 20. And so I talked to my professor every day for like 5 minutes about a topic, either like that we learned about in class or that was going to be on a test, or just being like, so it's sunny out today. What is there to do in Bellingham when it's sunny?
Yeah.
And so he still remembers me, and I actually, when I went to deliver thank you notes to my professors who helped me get into my graduate program, I saw him in the hallway and was like, oh my God, we need to talk because I have big news. Like, he wasn't a letter of recommendation person for me. He wasn't somebody that I took 18 different courses with, but he was somebody that I connected with enough where every single time I see him on campus, he waves. His wife waves. I've never taken a course with his wife, ever.
That is the big difference between my university and both of yours was I was at a commuter school.
Yeah.
The professors I connected with, one of them, by dint of her also being a gamer, she's really hard to keep folk like get a, get constant contact with and see. She's a great mentor when she's actually, you know, able to focus and be your mentor, but it was always like, you're like, well, haven't heard from her in 3 weeks, and everybody's also like, yeah.
Yeah. But then,
and the other professors I had were teaching at the UW proper.
Well, so, and that's, it's easier to connect with somebody if you're there, honestly.
I've always just like, kind of, like, I've been like, you're a really good teacher. I get along with you, you know, like, I have teachers from the high school who still remember me. Or the middle school, actually, specifically. But then I'm like, all right, well, that's it. I don't need to talk to you anymore. I'm out of that school system.
That's my other thing. I'll send them an email. My junior high teachers, I've sent Ms. Knabel emails before and been like, hi, how's it going?
This is the name of my social studies teacher in middle school.
English, Alex, English. But, like, I've sent them, they're my friends on Facebook. What?
We had her for social studies.
Oh, weird. But, yeah, and, like, I make an effort to, like, every so often, if I think of them, send them an email. But, like, one of my other professors recently, I'm in the middle of trying to apply for internships and stuff like that, which ties into this networking. But, like, I didn't know, because this person sent me an email, and I didn't know to respond, like, Mr. or Mrs. or their first name, because I do know them personally, but at the same time, I knew them in a school environment, so I was like, so I asked him, like, what do you think? And she responded just with her first name. So he's like, it's probably safe because people tend to, like, write what they want to be referred to. So, like, even that was my 5 minutes after class where I talked.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated.
No.
I still can't call any of the teachers by their first names when they're like, no, please call me this. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's not going to happen.
Really?
Sometimes it's weird.
Really? I actually...
There's one teacher I do it with because I can't pronounce her last name.
That's an excuse. No, well, the research professor that I've been with for 4 years, I actually am so used to calling her by her first name that for students that I, like, just psychology students that I'm working with, I refer to her by her first name, and they just stare at me, dumb, for, like, 5 minutes, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? It's this professor. Don't you know? This is what you call her. And, well, but none of them do, because she is explicitly, like, a graduate-level student. She doesn't really teach undergrad courses, so they know her specifically by her very complicated last names. And I can say her last names perfectly, but I know her by her first name because, like, I have met her children. She's invited me to picnic parties. She's amazing. Yeah. She's called me her right hand, and literally she's the left temporal lobe of my brain type of thing. Like, we are very involved because of the work that we do. So
I forgot that.
But then...
No, go. I'm going to derail things. Go.
Another thing is I'm the type of person that likes to be very independent, especially from my parents, no matter how close I am to them. And so I was like, I'm going to get a job without their help because I can do it. I'm a big kid. But then I was kind of like, shit, my parents know a lot of people. My dad is a professional. He knows a lot of people. My mom is she talks to everybody and anybody. So they do know a lot of people. So another really good networking thing is friends of your parents. My dad connected with somebody that he worked with years ago when I was little. She knew me when I was, like, I don't know, it was a really long time ago. But she now works for a company that is kind of like a database where you register and then they have people look for for jobs for people. And it's all in, like, the creative field and things. And he, without me knowing, which is totally cool, sent her a note saying, like, hey, would you mind talking to Alyssa? Like, she's in this industry now and, like,
kind
of curious. Well, he sent me, like, her message, and so then I sent her an email. Well, I found out that she is, like, one of the CEOs of the company, and I was gonna, but she's more than happy to help me. Like, they're so excited. She's like, my son's graduating soon and all this stuff, and they're so excited to help, especially because they're like, oh my gosh, you're an adult. You're grown up now.
And it doesn't just have to be about jobs, too. Like,
yeah.
Connections, so literally, like, right now, part of the reason why I've been distracted during this podcast, I'm sorry, is because I'm, like, my father's friend from the area that I'm moving to has been texting me the entire time about my future apartments because he literally went to go look at some for me yesterday because I can't, you know, like I don't want to, I can, but I don't want to have to pay to fly out to Northern Colorado like tomorrow type of thing. You know, like parent friends can help with a lot of things and they're usually more than happy to because as long as you aren't like, please don't be rude to them because they're doing something nice. But they've also heard, like, you don't have to have this really super long, in-depth relationship with them because they've probably been hearing about you as long as your parent has known them, frankly. And be nice to your parents.
Like, all of my friends are relatively useless as networking contacts right now. Ryan's starting to get there, you know. But most of us don't really, we're not quite in our fields, we're not, or we're, you know, we're starting our graduate programs, and, you know, so we're kind of just on the sidelines, so you have to kind of rely on your friends or your friends' parents, or on your friends' parents or your parents' friends.
Yeah.
Because they're the people who've been around long enough to have the wider spread network.
And they're at an age where most of them are pretty high up, or their friends are pretty high up, because they've worked their way there. So that's something, like, that I've noticed, because I was kind of like, don't want to do this, but it's so helpful. And now this person who's willing to help me, she's like, we'll have one of the recruiters interview you, because that'll be helpful. She's like, I'll meet with you for coffee when you get home. And it's like not necessarily even a job might come from it. Who knows it will, if it will or not. But it's like experience. Like, I've never done a professional interview before.
Really?
A professional job, no. I've done it for, like school kid jobs, you know? Okay. And I'm sure it's not too big.
Fair enough.
But it would be so helpful just to have that experience, you know, and that practice doing it. So that's...
I always have a huge problem with pushing through the other part of the networking, which is like, hey, hi, you know, like, you know, reconnecting with somebody and then being like, look... I need help. Can you help? You know, like, that part's always so weird to me. I'll do it to you guys.
Yeah.
I never have a problem with that. It's the people I don't directly know.
That was, with this lady, I was kind of like, I mean, Dad kind of did that for me, so that was really nice. But then, so this goes into my next, like, aspect of networking is friends of friends, because my god sister just graduated from Western, and she has a friend who graduated in public relations and is now in the field. And that's where, like, this, you kind of have to keep in contact with them. Because when I found out, I texted my god sister and I was like, can I have her contact information? Is that cool? Blah, blah, blah. And so I texted her one day and I was like, hey, like, this is what I'm doing. I'd love to just hear any of your advice. Well, now I applied for a job at her place that she is currently working, and I texted her, I was like, hey, I, like, applied for this job, for an internship this summer at your company. I'd love to hear more about your company and things like that. And because I had already made, like, she knows that, like, I want her advice and stuff, she texted me back and she's like, yeah, I'd love to also put in a good word for you and stuff. So it's not, so I felt more comfortable doing it because I hadn't just gone and been like, the first contact I ever made with her was like asking for help. No, it's, you gotta, at some
you have to initiate with a friendness.
Can we also,
exactly. And
so how much the world relies on this? Like, how much finding work or anything relies on the fact that you happen to know people who know people still, as much as we like to pretend it doesn't?
It's because of how people are built mentally.
That's what gets your resume on top of the stack. That's what when I did my job shadowing, that's what they all said. It's like, they got this job because they knew this person who used to work here, and then they told the HR people, and then, like, your name got up there.
But I've been doing a second part-time job because of somebody mom.
But my main thing is, you have to be willing to send an email, send a text, and also, thank you notes are a big deal. I heard Sunny kind of say that.
Thank you notes. Pay for them, suck it up, send them. Deliver them in person, say thank you, because if you don't say thank you, A, you're being ungrateful, and B, like, human relationships are kind of a scale, which I know sounds really weird, but, like, we actually enjoy helping people who are nice to us and say thank you and are helpful to us, even if it's not the same way. Like, it's right, just how we're built.
But we've let Alyssa talk for almost 30 minutes of mostly Alyssa talking. This is the Alyssa podcast this week.
Yeah.
Yay!
Because that's what happens when she's gone.
No.
Use LinkedIn, people. People do not understand the value of LinkedIn. I applied for an Amazon internship, and I
I might know somebody who can help you with that.
Exactly. See? Networking. But, like, I looked at my LinkedIn, and I looked at people that work for that company, and it was like, oh, this person knows this person, this person knows this person, and, like, you have, like, a second-degree connection with this person. And
Alyssa, Alyssa, I'm cutting you off.
LinkedIn.
Yeah. Alexander.
Alyssa, shut up. Oh, okay, actually, Alyssa.
What?
Where can people find you?
AlyssaP.com and LinkedIn.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sunny?
You can find me on Instagram, SEAE789. There's a really cute puppy picture of a very squinty eyed puppy right now on my Instagram that I made friends with because it was at the booth next door because I was right next to the therapy animal booth.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's the best during finals week.
And then...
lots of therapy on
the we let Alyssa talk quite literally until the end.
Pretty much.
And if we don't stop her, she's going to keep going because she's excited. So you can find me, look up at Redbreard on Twitter, REDBREARD. If you look that up on just about any other social networking site, there's a really good chance it's me because nobody else is that stupid to misspell Redbeard.
You were young.
I was young, and now I really like it because nobody else is that stupid, so I can get that name. You can find my writer's page at Alexander Pineda on Facebook, which, speaking of which, really quick, since we never actually finished how my week was, I just yesterday, I hit 25,000 words in my novel, and then realized that I wanted to change the structure. Like, I realized I found the plot, but it meant I changed the structure and I lost about 12,000 words.
Oh.
And I'm both tortured and really happy that I have the plot and everything's, like, gonna go the way I want it to go.
Good.
So there's that. Yay. But yeah, you can find it there. You can find all the stuff we do at podcastlostinspace.com. If you're confused about the schedule changes, Seneca put up a post. That's the last post that went up. It was the end of March post. Yeah.
Supposed to be informative, supposed to let you know how you can help us and kind of what's going on.
So if you're really confused, she'll explain it with Puppet Pals.
No, I won't. Actually, I might, but somebody needs to send, like, I'll get a mailbox.
Somebody makes
me Puppet Pals of all of our cast members, I will put on a Puppet Pal show of exactly what's going on at Pliss right now.
We've got Maddie who will do that for us. That'll be Maddie's contribution. But yes.
But hopefully, my puppet pal isn't super sunburned like I am. Sorry.
No, it'll just be made out of like neon white.
Yeah, that's about how I look.
That's how I look with this lighting. So.
But thanks for watching. We'll see you in 2 weeks.